Yes, it is, announcer guy. Good morning, Metroplex. We are live with the Monday edition in studio before we head out to Oxnard this upcoming weekend. It's Sean Treefar, Jay Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We got Peyton Russell back with us from vacation, and Aiden in the back live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Good morning, Pepe.
Good morning, guys. What's up? I missed y'all.
Aiden. Well, yeah, you did.
I think that's the sincere thing to say, right? You know, I missed y'all. Well, I did because, you know, I saw that the two guys that filled in for me were winning G-Bag of the Day without me. And I was like, dude, what the heck? I leave for a week and these guys are winning awards without me?
Did Kevin win? I didn't know Kevin went there. Ross definitely won.
He was a nominee on Friday. I don't know if they picked him.
It was for his lack of bleeps on that cut we played.
Yeah, Jacob Ray, thanks for ratting him out. My goodness. I know, I got to come back to an email with a tutorial on how to edit stuff as well. So
he kind of looked at us with attitude, too. He's like, I got everything. We're like, we just heard S-H-I blank.
Yeah, you missed up there, Blake.
Oh, and that was from what rant?
It was the plane guy, the guy in the airplane.
Oh, yeah. I'm the coolest guy on the East Coast.
I'm the realest guy on the East Coast. SOS, guys.
In my pied-à-terre.
Are you tan? Are you tired?
I'm tired because I flew back. I got hit with the delayed flight coming back, even though I was, you know, first class. But I got to the airport like an hour and a half before. It was a small airport in Pensacola. So I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do the 2-hour thing. I'll do 90 minutes. And as soon as I walked through the gates, it was I got the delayed notification. 30 minutes, 45 minutes. I go, oh, my goodness. So I didn't fly out of there till after 8 o'clock. Didn't get home until midnight, I think, back from DFW. But
on what day?
Saturday. Okay. So this was Saturday night. So I had the full Sunday recovery day, but I mean, I had yard work. I come back and my, you know, yard's just a mess with the grass and everything. I didn't water all week. Like, I think we got rain last Monday, but not throughout the whole week. So I had to do that. But yeah, just really tired, but glad to be back a little bit.
Yeah. Another sincere thing to say. Pepe back from the vacation, Floribama Shore. Hopefully everyone had a fantastic weekend. We got the Cowboys press conference at 1 o'clock today. Then Micah Parsons just cost himself money, a lazy Cowboy rookie already. That's coming up at 6:20. We get to Scotty Scheffler coming back to celebrate at Chipotle. But first this.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Boy, Vest makes quick work of the Rangers and preserves this win for Detroit. They salvage the final game of the series and take it by the final of 2-1.
Hixie with a call on this radio station. They don't get the sweep. They do get the series win against the Detroit Tigers, who RJ called fraudulent late last week in previewing the series. I'm just going to take things to our group text in order to summarize the end of this game.
Did you approve this with Choppy before you opened up the group text?
I did not. We have that belief in chemistry, unlike
you. We do.
Choppy, 9:04 p.m. That's the most embarrassing ninth inning you'll see all year. Bobby, pretty bad, but not as embarrassing as the failure to cover first against Tampa. I wrote back, what about the eighth when everybody struck out in the entire inning? Bobby, yeah, that was bad, but that top half and Langford's pathetic strikeout? RJ, difference for me is the eighth was 8-9-1 versus 2-3-4. And then Bobby, just offense, sure, but the top half of the eighth was worse. So not a great eighth and ninth inning overall for the Rangers.
Well, the top half of the eighth is a whole different animal because that itself was, you know, had its problems. And then you get the Chris Martin calf strain or whatever it would be. Dude, that ninth inning, though, I mean, that was you swing at the first pitch. That's fine. You get your pitch. You're Corey Seager. You get your pitch. You swing at it, right? That's okay. You know,
after the night he was having.
Yeah. Well, especially the last month plus he's been having.
Yeah.
And then you get to Simeon, and it's like, all right, you know, he also hacks at the first pitch. And now you're two pitches in. You got two outs. The dude that just came in, the reliever who pitched to Langford in the previous inning, has gotten three outs in like five pitches now. Nobody was able to even get his pitch count up to get him a little bit tired out. Adolis kind of, you know, gets a 4-5 pitch at bat, and all of a sudden he's done too. It was a very feeble ninth inning.
Six pitches in the ninth in order to go ahead and end it. The wild pitch costing Scooble his victory.
Yeah, I mean, look, they were the pitcher came in there Vest. He was pounding the strike zone though. Even the one that Dolis took was close. The one pitch that got taken for a ball in that inning, but Yeah, it was somewhere there. I mean, they Seager gets the pitch, swing at it. If Semien gets the pitch, fine, swing at it. You know, Adolis comes up there, takes a strike the first time, then he ends up swinging at a couple. But I understand it. It felt like a lack of patience in the bottom of the ninth. The bottom of the eighth was awful with Langford. Langford was just that was a terrible at bat. It was literally here's three straight pitches in the same spot and just unable to do anything with it. And in a game like that, Wyatt Langford's just he's becoming really, really frustrating at times. And I don't know how they rally him to get him to just be more consistent.
And we were robbed of the big Cy Young matchup with Nate Eovaldi getting scratched because of back tightness. And again, Lats, maybe your undercover MVP of the season with the 4+ innings that he continues to give you, but we did not get Eovaldi versus Skubal.
That was a huge bummer. I mean, first of all, ESPN would have loved it, I'm sure. You know, you get Skubal and Eovaldi, and those are two of the better pitchers in the American League. Scratch with back tightness, and
Rietma went out there for that, right, Jake? Jake thumbs up out there with Kid Muse, I think, part of the Jake Rietma fan club.
Oh, man.
And said he gets lats.
He gets lats, yeah.
Oh, Ocho went to a big game.
Shut up. Stop it. Stop. I just. But, I mean, now it's like.
Truck was right about you. They don't. More on that at 6:40.
They don't think he's going to head to the IL. At the moment, they don't think he's going to head to the IL. But it would not surprise me if he misses another start. You get bat tightness. It doesn't always. As a wannabe doctor, you know, my chiro says 7 to 10 days. If it's one of those back things where it's like it's hard to stand up, where you got to like kind of curl your.
Oh, yeah.
When you got to like, you got to twist to get up. He goes, that's a 7 to 10 day injury. It's a 7 to 10 day injury. Now, he's got a chiropractor, I'm sure, at the facility that he can go to every day or a massage therapist or something. So maybe it's not 7 to 10 days. Shoot him up with something good, get that inflammation down there. Put that sacrum back in the spot. We were good to go.
Sacrum.
I'll tell you what last night showed, though. It shows that I win our argument from a couple weeks ago.
Which one?
Skubal's definitely ahead of DeGrom. Yes, he is. No, that's why like their ERAs can be the same. That's a different pitcher right now. And not that DeGrom's been probably one of the five best pitchers in the AL consistently. But like that shows, like Skubal's just different. Like you, that dude's so freaking good. That changeup's disgusting.
I'm trying to think of someone with his stature. The last one with his stature to be as good is it CeCe? I mean, he's
like, little, thicker.
Yeah, he's a little chubby guy out there. They said he's wearing RJ choppy pants. They're way too tight. They're not loose enough. I'm trying to think who is a little CeCe, sturdy guy.
Yeah, CeCe's the first one that probably Wells, comes to mind.
Well, CeCe and Wells,
Jackie Arabu.
They're all lefties. They're all lefties.
Yeah, Wells and CeCe were like, I mean, they were fat.
Yeah, sloppy.
You know, like this guy is just kind of like
thick.
Beefy. You know, he's more like the Rowdy Tellez of left-handed pitchers. The Girthquake.
Rowdy Tellez showing up as well. We'll take you through the rest of the series on your home for Rangers baseball. On Saturday, they win 4-1. Tellez with the three-run homer, Seager with the RBI single, and then Rocker, 6 1/3, one inning, 0 runs. The Rangers over 500 and a 20-game on-base streak for Seager. The Rangers had lost 7 straight games this year when they had a chance to get back to 500. They snapped that on Friday by winning 2-0. I was at that game.
Well,
Patrick Corbin, 5 2/3, no runs. The bullpen, 3 1/3, no runs. Seager, the go-ahead 2-run double. So that's the recap. But here's Detroit in a free fall, might be too strong, but
yeah,
definitely sliding.
They're sliding. They were a little bit over their they're playing above what they kind of were from a run differential standpoint throughout the course of the year. I mean, there was half a dozen teams with a better run differential than them. Well, I guess it's now 4 teams with a better run differential than them throughout the course of the season. They should not have had the best record in the sport. They shouldn't have.
They got three good players. Three. That's it.
Define good. But Skubal obviously is tremendous. Riley Green was on the All-Star team. Torres on the All-Star team. They had some All-Stars.
That was three.
That is three. Good point.
Evan Grant is speculating this could be John Gray with Chris Martin to the IL. So we could see John Gray mutual friend of Hurtado Barbecue, back out for the good guys. They are going to have six straight at home now. Three with the Athletics, three with the Braves, where Ronald Acuna may have won a gold glove over the weekend. That's it by himself. And then you have the Angels on the road. Back to the greatness right here in the Metroplex.
And Scotty Scheffler has his Open Championship and the third leg of golf's Grand Slam.
Scotty Scheffler with the win on NBC. This thing was over. Rory on Saturday said it's inevitable. It's over. And I was hopeful we'd get him coming back to the pack a little bit. He was allergic to bogeys. Of course, as soon as I tweet that Shanks, it's a double bogey for Scotty. He responds. He wins the Open easily.
He is then that window. Every great golfer's got that 2-year window where they do everything right. And he's in the middle of that. But he might be in his second 2-year window already. Tiger had like 4 of those 2-year windows. Spieth had that 2-year window.
And a broken window.
And a broken window. Spieth had that 2-year window. He's looking to get back to another one. Scotty is that much better than everybody else right now.
17 under, 4 shots clear of the field after a final round 68. And he's just joining a bunch of short lists. Gary Player, Jack, Tiger to win the Open, the Masters, and the PGA all before age 30.
And like it took him the same amount of days between major number 1 and major number 4 as Tiger Woods. 1,197 days between major number 1 and major number 4. The guy is on a heater. Like, he is just on a heater right now. And there is nobody that is his contemporary. And that's the problem. Like, you don't have he needs to get another guy alongside with him. Jack had,
you like, think it's a problem, like, for viewership?
Yes.
It's not a problem for him.
It's not a problem for him. Jack had Player, Watson, Arnie. Tiger had Phil. Brady had Peyton. You had, like, guys like...
Caitlin had Angel.
Right. Willie Mays had Mickey Mantle. Like, you had, you know, you got people in the same era that, like, are your contemporaries that you're kind of going against. And that they'll steal one, and this guy will steal one, and then there's a fight, and then you can figure out, you can have the argument as to who's better. There's nobody now. It's the same thing as Mahomes.
I have an actual stat for you about golf. I have a contribution here as we discuss golf, Sean.
Mahomes has hurt.
You said, stop it. You said 2-year window, Chop. So I saw this get retweeted a bunch yesterday, that golfers all time to win 3 majors by 4-plus strokes within 2 years. It's Ben Hogan in 1953 and Scheffler the last 2 years.
4 majors in his bag, now tied for 22nd all-time in the majors, one shy of the active lead of the 5 major titles shared by Rory and Koepka. Man, Brooks has 5, and yeah, it's totally gone and forgotten. Scotty, the youngest player to win 4 since Rory, who did it at age 25.
Yeah, I guess they're saying Phil isn't active, because Phil has 6.
Played in the Open.
Yeah, he did. He has exemptions galore. Right, so I guess, but he's not active on the tour, I guess, is what they're saying. But yeah, I mean, those guys have, you know, Rory and Brooks are, you know, if you get to number 5, it's like 2 Super Bowls in the NFL, right? You get to that 2 or 3, even there's that jump. 5 is the first jump, and then 6 is obviously the big jump, because you get to 6, you're in rare.
Rangers and Scotty starting off the Monday edition. Congratulations to Scotty Scheffler and the family, the baby going viral. Like, what's the big deal? We do this every weekend. to start off the Monday edition of Sean and RJ, but we got some of the crew and the Cowboys out in Oxnard for the start of training camp. Did Micah Parsons just cost himself some money with what he did yesterday? And a report that a Cowboy rookie Longhorn is already lazy? We'll go inside the Star with our insider Bobby Roberto next on The Fan. The Dallas Cowboys have landed in Oxnard, California. The KNC Masterpiece will start off our coverage there, and then we take over along with the G-Bag Nation next week. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean, RJ, and Bobby on your official home of America's Team. And we have the big press conference today, 1 p.m. When will Brian Schottenheimer speak first? How many minutes in? If I set the over-under at 4.5.
And we're not talking about just like a chirp with a, yeah, that's right.
And no, we're not. Are we including Jerry's opening statement or just once they start asking questions?
Opening statement's easy over.
Okay.
Yeah, that if it's the opening statement, Jerry may talk for 8 minutes.
All right, take the statement out.
Ooh.
4.5 over under.
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 Ooh, okay, because it's his first one?
Yeah.
People, look, the media has loved getting all these different quotes out of him. It's like, oh, this is fun. The only caveat here is it's been a while since they've talked to Jerry. And they may just...
And the Micah thing.
They may hit him with like 6 Micah questions in a row. And if he's playing ball, then they'll keep it going.
Yeah, everyone blames Jerry. I get it. But it's the media who's directing the questions.
Yeah. Now, mm-hmm. Jerry will give you a 3-minute answer a lot of times. And there's some in that 3 minutes, he usually says something where it's like, well, we got to follow up on what he just said there.
Micah Parsons, Bobby, did not get on the team playing. But Jordan Schultz and others saying he is going to report to Oxnard despite not having the deal done yet. What do we make of this?
I mean, this is pretty much to be expected, I think, given the way he handled things.
Others were not apparently on the team playing as well.
Yeah, and that's not always unusual. There are people who fly separately.
Some guys get out there a week or two early.
Now, and sure, you get your Sean Lees, who Sean would be...
Overshown was out there early.
Sean Lee would be in California, and he would fly back to Dallas the day before to fly with the team back to California because he viewed it as important to fly with the team. And so like
crazy.
You get your Sean Lees like that sometimes, but I want to say, I feel like Mike has actually done this before, like one other year where he came out by himself. So I'm not totally surprised that he's flying solo doing everything else. Also not surprised that he's ended up reporting because this is what he's shown he was going to do based on everything he did during the minicamp and OTA sessions.
And Mike Florio says this is a mistake. Our buddy from ProFootballTalk.com and Football Night in America, the question becomes whether Parsons will, like Zeke and Lamb, hold out or, like Dak, show up. The middle ground is to hold in, to show up and not practice until he has his deal. The last option would be a mistake. And this is what I think Mike is going to do, the hold in. He's obviously going to be there. It'd be a mistake because it would allow the Cowboys to keep dragging their feet beyond week one. While a hold in avoids fines while also protecting the player from a practice injury, the team acquires all the leverage once the player reports. It becomes much harder for Mike to walk out or to refuse to play given the terms of the CBA. And it sets the stage for what happened several years ago between the Bears and Roquan Smith. At some point, it'll be time to go to work even if there is no deal. Zeke and Lamb got what they deserved by staying away. And while Dak showed up, his leverage came from not holding out, but from the prospect of not getting a deal done. Faced last September with Dak hitting free agency in March 2025, the Cowboys blinked, making him the highest paid in the league. If Micah shows up, the Cowboys won't have to blink. They can ride it out, paying him $24 million for this season and applying the franchise tag next year. At this point, it's not as if the edge rusher market will go up before the end of the season. Why not make him continue to carry the injury risk for another year? That's Mike Florio saying, that's why if Parsons were my relative or friend, I'd tell him to stay away. Yes, he faces daily fines of $40,000 and $1.3 million for each preseason game missed. They're waivable for players playing under their rookie deals, and the amounts are peanuts in comparison to the contract he stands to get.
Yeah, and also, didn't they do this with Zach, too? They just added his fines into his new deal.
So that's what they had to do with Zach, because Zach was a veteran.
Right.
So with CD, they didn't have to do that. CD, they could waive it. And with Micah, they could just waive it because he's rookie deal. Because the rookie deal, basically they look at it as a rookie deal is somebody fighting for their first contract. A veteran is somebody who's holding out and they feel like you've already been paid. This is you now trying to just be greedy.
Florio finishes, the only way for Micah to get every penny he's owed at this point is to stay away. If he shows up, they'll try to lowball him, especially since they love to change the well-earned narrative that they bungle these negotiations. Prediction. If he shows up, which he is, the Cowboys will eventually make him a final offer well below what he would get if he holds out. And if he doesn't take their last best offer, they'll try to kick the can into 2026. Second prediction, if he doesn't show up, he'll get what he deserves. He is showing up. So this is Florio predicting this does not get settled anytime soon. and then Micah Parsons has to wait until next year. That's a bold prediction.
That's a very bold prediction. It's also very bold to say the Cowboys will make him a final offer well below what he'd get if he holds out. Okay, so that means that you think that one of two things would happen. If he shows up, he'll be well below Myles Garrett, or if he holds out, he'll be well above Myles Garrett. Because the reality is he's probably right now between 40 and 42. That's why I don't totally agree with the way that Florio sees this. I understand not showing up and trying to get things quicker and trying to make sure they don't drag this. But the idea that this is going to cost him millions if he shows, I think that's off. I think everybody knows generally where he's coming in money.
Yeah, is this a $2 million swing or a 10? Is he going to get 35 by showing up and 45 by not? Like if that's the case, then it's a huge mistake. If it's the difference between 40 and 42, I don't think Micah. Now Mulligetta might view that as a big deal.
Who's that?
That's right. There you go. I don't know if Micah views that as like a deal break. You're circumcising mosquitoes at that point with that money.
There's a prediction for the press conference today. Jerry again makes some sort of reference to he doesn't know the agent's name. He will do that again today.
No way.
I bet you.
No way.
What do you want to bet? He loves doing that. He loves going back, looping back on those kind of jokes in these moments. He loves looping back on Zeke, too.
You think he'll joke about it?
I think he'll just...
legitimately come across as offensive.
I think if somebody mentions his name, he'll go, who now?
Yeah.
And I think if he's talking about the contract and nobody sets him up, he'll be like... And, you know, Micah's agent, I can't remember his name. And then he'll look and he'll do this big smile thing.
Okay. But
I think he circles back on that joke today.
As a joke?
Yes.
Okay. And how irritated are they going to get when they're pressed over their delay tactics?
That's a good question because it's varied by who they've talked about in the past. So, when they've gotten pressed on delay tactics before on certain deals, then they'll talk, they'll go, this is just business. And they're very cool about it. Mm-hmm. Then there are others that when they get pressed, they get irritated really fast. And so, Steven was getting irritated during minicamp about Micah stuff. You remember he was like, I'm not answering any more Micah questions. If you guys are going to keep throwing those, I'll go inside.
Yep.
So, it seems like this is one that would irritate them.
And, when you're sitting here waiting for leaves to fall, that's what they love to say. Jerry's trying to tell you, we made mistakes by acting too early with other guys. He's not going to insult those players by name.
Jalen.
Maybe Diggs.
You go back into the mid-2000s. I mean, they were quick to extend guys. Didn't they extend Miles Austin right after his Kansas City game?
Yeah, it was pretty close.
He had that breakout game. Here we go, 4 years.
But we all thought the next leaf to fall would maybe be leadership. Are you going to show up for the voluntary, the involuntary? Are you going to show up to Oxnard? He's done them all. Mm-hmm. So what other? That's the question I would have. I would ask, how surprised are you the deal isn't going to get done to try to make Jerry tell us that Micah's side screwed it up? That would be my one baity question. But Micah being, or Jerry being like, I thought we had a deal done. And then what other leaf would you need to see fall? What else does he have to prove? He showed up to all the stuff which you want from your leadership.
Well, you see, Sean, leadership is not just about what you do during the practices. Leadership is also what happens, when we're playing ball games. And when you've got a first-year head coach, we need to see some of that leadership on the field. And then I can publicly bluff, I'll make you play out the whole year to prove leadership because that's not just an off-season thing.
The Cowboys, by the way, are working out several free agent pass rushers, according to Jeremy Fowler. Jesse Luketa, Cameron Klein, and James Houston. Do you know any of those people?
I know Luketa. I know Justin Houston. I mean, everybody knows Justin Houston.
James Houston.
Houston's 50. Yeah. When they threw out James Houston yesterday, I honestly was like, when was the last time he played? Was it 3 years ago? It's more recently than that, but not by a ton. This makes sense because there's an Eberflus connection. He was in Indianapolis with Houston, and so... That would seem to make sense. He's one of these guys who, when we talked about Von Miller last week. By the way, I can't believe this. How old is Houston?
Which one?
Justin Houston.
I don't, 36?
34. I could have sworn he was Von Miller, getting up there towards being 38, 39 years old. But that's what he could still be, you hope, is you're the Von Miller guy. You come in here on third downs, and you're just a savvy pass rusher. Get to the quarterback. But, 2022 with Baltimore, he had 9.5 sacks.
What about the Jaden Blue story from Glenn Stretch Smith. Who knows Stretch Smith?
Nobody in the NFL.
I know Stretch. We know Stretch.
Yeah, know of, but
know of.
Who is he?
He says he was a former scout.
He was a. It's a very loose term to say he was an offensive assistant coach in 1999 and 2000. Here, literally, you cannot find any biographical details about anywhere else he's coached in high school, college, or professional sports other than that.
Well, he came out on the Locked On Cowboys podcast.
Oh, we can throw this in the trash then.
And blasted Jaden Blue.
I'm hoping he's setting the tone for his former teammate at the University of Texas, because that's really the guy I'm worried about. I'm already hearing some rumblings out of the building about the running back that they drafted and him being, you know, kind of just borderline lazy, not in the building, doing his off-season workouts. So maybe he's saying, hey, one Longhorn to the other Longhorn, get your ass in here and let's get going a little bit, because I think that's a firm message that needs to be sent.
I recognize this. Was this guy on with Galloway?
Yes, he was.
Okay. Yeah. Stretch. Bobby, you're rolling your eyes.
Yeah, because, I mean, the rumblings out of there, I don't know what third-hand like stuff he'd be getting. He's not talking to anybody in there consistently from that organization. The fact that it's said, like I said, on Locked On Cowboys with that whole crew and Marcus Mosier, which is like a bunch of Scott Templetons, if you're familiar with The Wire. Like, I mean, just making up sourcing and been busted for it publicly on several different occasions. It makes it hard to take anything seriously. Even if I thought this, I would now start to question what I thought because they're saying it. So that's enough to make me say that. Jaden Blue had character concerns coming out of Texas.
Line of Brugler's scouting report is like he's going to have to prove to NFL teams he's got the work ethic.
Teams had him flagged. A lot of different people had him purple on their board, which is purple is red and blue. Red for injury concern, potentially blue for character concern. And so he had those sort of concerns coming out of Texas, but I haven't heard anything like he's got an issue right now. And like I say, the fact of where this is coming from makes me less likely to believe it's actually true.
Welcome to the
Dallas. I love the pettiness of these reporters.
Welcome to the Dallas Cowboys, where only a fifth round rookie running back can get called out before training camp for being lazy.
I heard he's lazy.
Don't put some dip back in your lip.
Hey. 877.
Borderline lazy.
877-881-1053. A feisty way to start off the 6 a.m. club with Sean, RJ, and Bobby. And speaking of feisty, I guess this is a perfect time to head to Oxnard, because it's sounding like feelings are starting to get genuinely hurt between us and other members of this radio station. The audio we heard about over the weekend that we'll play for you next.
Well done.
Welcome back, went away right as I was playing the song, and I was like, oh, wait, how do I say this again? And
welcome back to the van. It's Peyton Russell.
I missed it.
This is Coldplay.
Yeah.
Well, the couple over the weekend.
That's what you were laughing at. I was laughing at him.
I told him to play Coldplay.
Oh, you did? Oh, I didn't hear that.
I was laughing at him stumbling like that.
I told him twice to get a Coldplay song.
I did not hear that.
Hold on, I'm going to pull this right now while we're talking. I'm going to get this clip of him going, welcome back.
It's the return of Peyton Philip Russell from the Floribama Shore. Best and worst of the weekend stories from being out there with his fiance at 7:40. I'm Sean Treif alongside RJ Choppy and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. How many Coldplay stories did you see over the weekend? The Philadelphia Phillies and the mascots going ahead and emulating it. When I was at the Ranger game Friday, when the fan cam is on, you know everyone in the entire stadium was talking about it, myself included, and the CEO resigned.
Yeah, of Astronomer, whatever. We still don't know what that is. But the CEO resigned after getting caught with the HR chief, the HR head. And boy, this is where the speculation and the internet sleuths, whatever that is, they are wondering. So the girl next to him that was had a big, she had her hand like on her left side of her face, laughing, big smile, like embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
That is like the associate HR chief who had just gotten promoted. And people are wondering, like, did she somehow sabotage this and get the attention of the camera people to set this up to take the HR chief's job because she knew she would have been fired.
Come on.
This is the kind of just intrigue that we're looking for here.
I got to find this TikTok I saw over the weekend because it's what's not clear is whether this was a legit post or not, but it was blowing up. The guy's daughter was allegedly like all over TikTok this weekend posting about it for the first time and just saying like,
I think she's got a ton of followers.
Yeah, and that's
maybe it's from this.
And that's like a lot of people have now there's people saying you're not legit, but if she's not legit, she went out of her way to make a lot of like play up a bunch of different screenshots she could create looking like she's texting with her mom or other people. And somebody was like, oh, enjoy your life on your yacht. And she goes, think I will. And then she cuts to a video of her on a yacht. So like, I don't know. It does make me wonder if that's really her, but this whole thing, it just could have been avoided if you would have just played it off, played it normal. It could have.
You have the stupidest reaction
it's not.
That I've heard to this.
What? The reaction that the most embarrassing thing about this is that he was at a Coldplay concert?
No. That anyone react in the moment and think, oh my God, this could go viral. So just let me act like everything's fine and normal and have us caressing each other. No one could ever think like that in the moment.
No, but here's the thing. If you are a big time CEO who's like we've said, the solution to this is you just don't have an affair. But
that would be the solution.
When he's standing like anybody who that must have been fresh affair. Is what I'm thinking. Because if he would have been in this for some sort
dovey.
Like if he would have been in some like long term thing, I would imagine he's used to like don't look at this. Don't have this. Don't show this or anything. He's clearly just like hanging out with everybody they work with. And he gets thrown up on this screen or whatever else. And then he's ducking. I mean, it's just such a dumb reaction to have. I don't think that's if that happened to anybody, if there was something you weren't supposed to be doing and you get thrown up on a big jumbotron, are you ducking in front of a bunch of strangers?
But you might separate.
Yeah.
You would separate or get your hands off.
Sure, but yeah, casually or something. A just flat ducking to the ground is what
obviously brings attention to it, but I mean, it still would have we would not have found out about it. I assume his wife would have found out.
Were you guys surprised that he left the company? In talking about this last week, I was not thinking that he would have to resign.
I wouldn't either, but since it was an HR lady and the questions of did she get her promotion because of him?
Right.
That makes sense.
What was your favorite memes that copied all this? You had Mahomes holding a referee. Kyle Morgan has had me now holding RJ Choppy. Nico and Rob Pelinka holding each other. I don't even need to see the superimposed faces. It's just when they write the words and the names over the CEO and the girl, that's funny enough for me.
Who was the big spoon in the Nico and Rob one?
The big spoon. I think it's Rob.
I think Rob is the big spoon. The Luke and Leia, they keep throwing Luke and Leia up there as like though they're hugging because they had the kiss in the second one. But yeah, no, I mean all the basically just any one of those that I keep seeing of just the like you said the Mahomes one where you got the Luke and Leia one, the Philly Fanatic thing was hilarious over
Philly
the weekend.
Fanatic was good. My favorite was the friendly reminder to not cheat on your wife at a Coldplay concert. Do it at a LIV tournament because no one's there to see it.
There was a guy holding up a sign at one of the games that said, "This is my wife," and that was actually good. For real. Amanda keeps being amazed how this got so big. She's like, Why did this blow up like this? Because there's been other kiss cam affairs.
Yeah.
Well, you got some level of fame. You got the CEO of a company. And then it just decides, the internet decides what they'll do with you.
Yeah. So if they figure it out.
If they come up with the memes and all the instant jokes, then everyone else catches on. And this is part of the greatness of Twitter's existence to me. I love it.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest aspect of it is that generally, people on the internet go, "Who are you?" when this sort of thing happens. And most of the time, they're probably unable to find who it is, or they find out it's somebody small. This time, they found out pretty quick, oh, this is somebody who's important. Let's really drive this home.
So I was heading out to the Globe on Friday.
Well.
And Zach Wolchuk is like, hey.
Where's your man on the street audio?
It's a joke. Now, you've been a little feisty this morning.
Yeah,
I walked
he has,
back in
man.
From the commercial break and I heard RJ saying, you're feisty. If you want to direct it at me, if you want to direct your Marcus Mosier stuff at me, just let me know. Because we're getting ready to head out to Oxnard. Yep. I already know you get all butthurt and sensitive. You know what? Maybe G-Bag's right. Maybe G-Bag is right, as Walchuk was saying, hey, come on the show. Stop by our broadcast at the Globe. And I was like, oh, that's an awfully nice invitation. And then I started getting DMs and tweets from listeners about this.
I've been looking for Sean Sharif throughout the day. You know, I've been hoping that we could,
the hell is he?
We could squash the beef that, like, Bobby Belt, I think, started a number of months ago when he was not a five-time G-Bag of the Day champion. He got stuck at four. So then there was a rap battle, and Belt and Chief went back and forth. But then, like, I guess over the last month or so, whenever we've come up, it does seem like they are trying to talk about us negatively. I'm always a team player.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't think I would much rather go against the competition. You know, that's been my style. You know, when I was looking to make a name for myself, and I was like, man, it'd be fun to have a little back and forth going, I look at other radio stations as the targets. Maybe other TV stations, writers.
Yeah.
Like, who's saying stuff that's offensive to us or we think is idiotic that doesn't work here? You know? Like, I guess from my perspective, for Sean and RJ, like, you want to build us up so, you know, it helps the overall radio station. And up until them, like, nobody had this erroneous idea that the G-Bag Nation had a difficult time giving out items, right? It was a foreign concept to me. Whenever we're there, if we have something, they're gone within the hour. But they picked that up and ran with it, and now there's this false narrative out for people, I guess, that haven't been to a G-Bag remote and seen the mania, seen the passion, that we're lacking.
All right, stop.
Come on. And
I did not think of all the places he was going to take this, that this would go to the giveaway.
We move merch, bro.
By the way, Dawson is referencing back when he used to drink. He would go at Dale Hansen. Like, the media watchdog thing actually came from Dawson, and he would lash out and attack everyone, and it was good. It was entertaining.
It was very good.
But I guess the giveaway thing started because of Broadus.
Oh, yeah.
Broadus insulted us first that we had to have koozies or Firehouse this or Sean and RJ that. That's where it started.
We had said some things like, you know, and also it started when we had a few of their mugs. Like, they're nice, very nice, like, highball glasses.
Which is usually full when they're on air.
Right. And, you know, we said, hey, look, can we hear? They can't give them away their remote. We'll give them away at ours. We got to sit here because we move merch, baby. And that one very, very random thing that we said probably a year and a half ago is what is all, you know, all in their fields.
No, I know where this really stems from. First off, I want to say that when it's, we build them up, that's all we ever do. How long has Dawson said the most toxic show on the station? They're the most toxic show, and it's not even close. That's been like a year and a half, year-long mantra here.
Yeah.
Second, the reality is this goes back to Seth Greenberg. This goes back to. That's when RJ started ramping up the shots of, like, they didn't like his guest. Yeah. And that's when he's like, all right, I'm going in, I'm swooping Ralph Strangis from him. I'm going to do this. Yeah. That's what started. And then as a bit, we just all had to unite.
All right, let's continue.
That we're lacking in some way. And unfortunately, that idea is sort of festering. So in my situation, I'm like, dude, what's the best way to move on from this?
Yeah.
You know, and I thought a sit down with Sean might be the best way to get it done. But maybe he just wants to bang it out here on the airwaves, Zach. What do you think?
Maybe he does. I guess we...
He's probably sloppy drunk right now in Texas.
Yeah, I mean, he probably was pre-gaming in Texas. Like, in fact, I think that he did kind of tell us a little bit about what his festivities were going to be this morning about the... I think they might have taken a shot at you, General, here. Jake, what do we got?
Again?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Sean and RJ, they were talking about, you know, Gavin's signature phrase, if you see me, beer me. And they were poking a little fun at the General this morning.
Diamond Cavs on your home of the Rangers. If you see me pre-gaming with the fam at Texas Live, shout me out, hook you up with your beer. And then 7 o'clock, first pitch on this radio station.
So you're saying would be, if you see me, I'll beer you. You're not demanding people beer you when they see you. You're not just like, see me, beer me. You're going to give them their beer.
Like, that's Gavin kind Dawson of once selfishly did.
Yeah, you are actually going to give out those beers, not just ask people to give them to you when they see you.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. That's fun. Yeah, it's just my signature catchphrase, if you see me, beer me. I started that in 2010 when we were heading over to the old stadium. And, yeah, you know, I thought it was cool for many years. Like, wherever I went, there was too many beers for me to drink. And, you know, maybe for Sean, he feels like I have to give my listeners something so they keep coming back. When I was out there, it was just love and appreciation for the free content and Radio Gold, as always, that I was giving them 5 hours a night.
Oh, trust me. Bobby also thought it was really cool because he was one of your biggest fans until he became Sean's loud.
Oh, man. Yo, Woolchuck was in his feels. More on that later. Wow. I think we'll have to finish this up at around 8:20. Man, Woolchuck. And I was not able to. These guys don't ever do a full show, so it was hard to get over there while they were still
very
on.
Very difficult. And when they are on, they're probably having Mike Hyka on for the third time in a week. Tim Cato on again. There's some random writer. Is Katie George
available?
No,
you forgot the chef. Forgot the Globe Chef.
Oh, yeah, the Globe Chef. Yes, the sous chef, the line cook, the guy who's sprinkling the parsley on. God, you have four people on there, and you fill your time with spares.
I love. They're dominating. The ratings are crushing. Good job, you
guys. Yeah, NFC. What South?
I think I've actually fired the least amount of shots, which I find refreshing. This is great. Bobby and RJ have picked it up. I left my house at 5. To try to go to Texas Live pregame and then get in the stadium early. We had to go by to see Chuck Morgan. I wanted to take Ollie upstairs with Nadell and Hicks and Jared. But by the time I got there, it was like an hour. I'm like, they're going to be off the air in 30 minutes.
I mean, let's be fair. Zach started the whole thing.
Oh, Zach.
Let's be honest.
Let's continue this later. It's the Franklin Frankel injury attorney text line.
No offense, Mike Hyka. I like you.
877, you bum, you spare. 877-881-1053 in order to hit us up. The big sports battle over the weekend was at an all-star game. And I think we're going to have that battle here on the morning show. They said, pay us more. And the world responded with, no, you actually owe money. We'll get into it. We got a brand new ticket giveaway as well. Billy Currington tickets. It's Sean and RJ just getting started with your week on The Fan.